Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They have to be my views, the views of our guests, and the views of our callers. We welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, but please don't call for the time being. We have with us on the line a John Christian writer, R-Y-T-E-R. We're going to be talking about an article he wrote recently called Peak Oil, Deep Oil. Now, certainly many people in the country are noticing that their bills, their utility bills, are up this winter. Certainly the price of electricity is going up. The price of natural gas is going up. The price of heating oil is going up. And we're told, oh, it's just there's the shortage of oil. We're running out of it. It was Katrina, or it was Rita, it was Wilma. It was those hurricanes that were responsible. And, of course, we want to point out that this is all a lie. This is part of a long-range plan to impoverish the American people and to bring about the redistribution, or, as they say in the Earth Charter, the equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations. And they intend to lower our living standards and make it miserable for our people, but they can't tell the American people that. So they have to come up with all of these excuses. And if you believe what you're told in the media, why, of course, you will not understand anything that's going on. Well, this article that we're talking about, Peak Oil, Deep Oil, appeared in News with Views, and it was really so akin to my own thinking. I asked Mr. Writer to come on with us, and he's a professional writer, and, of course, he's worked for a number of major newspapers through the years. Thank you so very much for being with us, John.
I'm glad you asked me to come on board.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about how it was that you began to question what we're being told? After all, everybody knows we're running out of oil. I mean, all the major media tell us, and our environmentalists tell us, and our people who work in our major universities tell us this. But you're suggesting that maybe they're not telling us the truth.
I started looking at this long before the recent things with Katrina, when the price of oil started to skyrocket. I've been studying the Rockefeller family and Standard Oil for probably about 15 years. And when you look at the old man, John D. Rockefeller Sr., when he started to capture the oil market in the world, and at one point, just before Standard Oil was broken apart in 1911, Rockefeller controlled 85% of all oil production and distribution in the world. His philosophy was that oil was a non-replenishable source. So this came from his brain. This didn't come from scientists. This came from his thinking. But he thought that when the only oil in the world was in Titusville, Pennsylvania, that it was a finite amount of resource, and that within 50 years, 100 years, it was going to run out. And it just seemed that every time I turned around, somebody was digging a new well. When they closed off some wells, went back to those wells 10 years later, the wells had replenished. And when you listen to the scientists, they'll say, well, that's because this well was in the proximity of this well over here, and it was just seepage.
And of course, this idea that that oil comes from decaying dinosaurs. I always like to ask the question: how many dinosaurs playing on the sands of Saudi Arabia do you think it took to create those great pools of oil, the billions and billions of barrels of oil they have there? Do you really believe it came from decaying dinosaurs?
No.
We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, Coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, our guest this afternoon is John Christian Reiter, and he is a professional writer. We're talking today about an article that is posted on newswithviews.com. Incidentally, this is well worthwhile going to on a regular basis. You can get my two articles on there on peak oil and the myth of peak oil, but there's a recent article called Peak Oil, Deep Oil, and it was so similar to my own views that I really wanted to have the author, Mr. Reiter, on with us, and he was talking about the Standard Oil Company. Back before 1911, John D. Rockefeller owned 85% of the oil industry in the United States and a great deal of it throughout the world. And at that point in 1911, Congress investigated what was going on, found out it was not only oil, they controlled much of the transportation and banking industry and so many other industries. So they broke Standard Oil up into a Standard Oil of New York and Ohio and New Jersey and California and a number of other Standard Oil companies. But they were still, although they were supposedly separate, they were still all controlled by Rockefeller-appointed people. Everybody felt that something had changed, but nothing had really changed. And the Rockefellers had continued controlling the oil, and they still control a large part of it today. Of course, there's a Royal Dutch Shell controlled by the wealthy people in Europe and the Royal Dutch family. And then the British Petroleum controlled by the British government and the British Royal Family. And then, of course, two major companies here, ExxonMobil and Chevron, which are both Rockefeller. And then there's ConocoPhillips. Who owns that? Do you know, John?
Rockefeller,
okay. Well, at least they're consistent.
Yeah, when Standard Oil broke up, it broke into 10 companies. Exxon was one, Mobil, Texaco, Chevron, Amoco, Chevron.
Standard Oil of New Jersey, Ohio.
There were four Standard Oils, and then there are a variety of other names, but When you go to an Exxon station, you go to a Mobil station, you go to a Phillips station, you go to a Marathon station, you go to a National Oil station, you go to a Lukid station, which is a Russian oil company coming into the United States, it is partially owned by Rockefeller. Rockefeller owns, Standard Oil now is a name on paper, because Standard Oil no longer has gas stations. The largest ExxonMobil...
Hold left off right there for just a moment as our other stations come on board.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is John Christian Reiter, and he's simply talking about the breakup of the Standard Oil industry. But they broke it up into 10 large companies, but they were still all controlled by the Rockefellers. And certainly today now, when you go to a Standard station, who actually does own those stations then?
Who owns them?
Yes, are they owned by Exxon, by Mobil? ExxonMobil is basically a Rockefeller-controlled company today, isn't it?
Yeah, And on the boards of all of these companies, Standard Oil people sit. When you look at how the oil industry came apart when Rockefeller started as Standard Oil, he would find a competitor who was hurting him and go into the market and just simply undersell him and put him out of business. And buy them out, and if the manager or the owner of that company was any good, he would hire them. And so a lot of his competitors in the early days became employees of Standard Oil. And I was trying to think, Sunoco, the Pugh family founded Sunoco. It ended up a Standard Oil property. And then in 1911, it broke apart, and Sunoco was one of the 10 separate companies. And when you look at the Pugh family wealth, it's oil wealth. When you look at the Rothschild wealth, which most people think Rothschild family was this famous banking family in Europe, and they made all their money in banking, they actually made their money in oil. When you look at the Nobel family, which is munitions, they made their money in oil. Oil is the the oil barons own and control the wealth of the world. And I mean that quite literally. When you, if you get in a conversation, someone say, who's the richest man in the world? Some people are going to say Bill Gates. Some people are going to say the Walton family that owns Walmart.
Oh, don't forget Warren Buffett. That's the next one.
Or Warren Buffett.
Right. But, of course, they really don't understand because they've been reading Time magazine too long.
Yeah. When you look at the Forbes list of the richest people in the world, these are the richest people where we know what their wealth is. The wealth of the owners of the oil dynasty have so much wealth. The Rockefeller family could, with David Rockefeller as an example, who heads the Rockefeller family, could buy the wealth of Bill Gates with his checkbook.
And I think it's really very disconcerting to realize that the media is lying to you, but that the media is controlled by five mega corporations that tie into the same complex, and certainly they're into the airline business and the drug business. But the oil and banking are the two major sources of concentration of wealth in very, very few hands. But the average individual has no idea what's really going on. All they know is what they read in the paper.
It is the same hands. The hands that own the oil are the hands that own the banks.
And, of course, the big problem is that they are manipulating the price of oil today and creating artificial shortages to run the price up. And not only of oil, but all oil products, and whether it's fertilizer, whether it's paint, whether it's drugs, they all are petroleum-based. Plastics are all petroleum-based. And then, of course, natural gas. And that's, of course, why they've been financing the environmental movement to block the development of nuclear power, to block the drilling of oil wells in this country, to cap oil wells and gas wells, and to shut down the refineries. You point out that we don't have enough oil refineries, but why don't we have enough oil refineries?
We don't because in the 1960s, the oil industry began to finance the environmentalists. They created most of the environmentalist groups, and they created them to attack them.
You always want a controlled opposition.
Right, because here we created this myth called global warming, and it is a myth. The world has a global temperature departure right now of a minus 0.5, which is one half of 1%. This is the global temperature departure in the last 50 years. You're going to have these climate swells where you go through really hot summers and really cold winters. And what we had this past year was a hot summer, and now we're having a cold winter. We have environmentalists who are saying, see, the cold weather, the cold winters that we're now experiencing in Northern Europe and in Asia right now, this is proof that global warming exists.
Of course, if you can't see why cold winters prove that global warming exists, obviously you can't think very clearly.
Right. So when you look at, and the reason for promoting the myth is so that the oil producers can, without getting in trouble with regulators and the government, they can cut back on production. They can increase their prices to conserve this limited resource. And that's the reason for it.
Well, let me just point out that there really is some melting of the Arctic ice cap. There really is melting of glaciers. That's because we've been in a worldwide gradual global warming process since the 1600s. But remember that 1,000 years ago, Greenland was green. And they grew grapes and all sorts of crops in Greenland, which now has 50 feet of ice on it. Why, does it have 50 feet of ice? Because we went into a cooling cycle, and that began to reverse itself in 1600, and now we're going into a warming cycle. So, but this has nothing to do with the increase of CO2, which is only 3% of the so-called greenhouse gases. Most greenhouse gases actually our water. Are we going to outlaw that as well?
Well, let me take and point out two areas where the Rockefellers have meddled that are creating problems. And both of these, the meddling is done to give them better leverage over the oil industry. When I was a kid, I remember that the temperatures in wintertime were always below zero. Winter was below zero. And so we've got this warming that's going on. But that was just a comment on the other. But if you look at what we're doing people-wise, in 1962, about the time Rockefeller was courting the environmentalists, Rockefeller was also courting an organization that he helped finance called Planned Parenthood. The purpose of this was to cut back on the population, because part of the problem in his mind were there were too many people consuming these very scarce resources, and that people was part of the problem. So what we do, we finance this abortion industry. And what we end up with today in the United States and in the industrialized nations of Europe, we end up with population replenishment levels of less than 10 per 10. In other words, in the United States, there is a population replenishment level right now of 0.7. What that means is for every 10 people who die, 7 are born.
Well, that's why we've got to have unbridled illegal immigration into the country. And so they create the problem, and that's why they're not, one of the reasons why they're not trying to stop the immigration from coming in. Actually, of course, in Russia, why the average male lives 58 years of age. And I believe this is just another one of these macabre experiments that these elitists are using to see how they can begin to limit the world population. And we find falling fertility rates. We find, you know, the level of testosterone going down in the men in this country, which is why so many men have erectile dysfunction. If you check their sperm counts, they're going down. They know exactly what they're doing. They have a global plan for population control. They call it family planning throughout the world, and it's being funded with your tax money to the tune of about $400 million every year to force women throughout the world not to have children and to deprive them of that wonderful ability to have children, which is what God created women for, but the elitists don't want them to have children, and we're financing, whether the IUDs or whether forced IUDs or Depo-Provera shots or Norplant or all sorts of things to upset the hormone balances, or certainly one of the things they do is they put contraceptives in the vaccines they give these women without telling their contraceptives in it, and these women will never conceive thanks to our tax money.
Right. And also another form of birth control is legalized marriage for homosexuals. Same thing. It's going to be the new form. When it reaches the point, right now the people who are messing with the population levels have realized they went overboard. We have a dilemma in this country. We have a dilemma in Europe. This is why jobs today are leaving this country and going elsewhere, because tomorrow's consumers who are going to buy these products don't live here. There are not enough consumers left in the United States to buy the products that industry can create. Industry looks, when they look at their productivity levels, they don't look at just the profit and loss of what they're making. They look at the profits they could make if they could run their plants at full capacity. They can go to China, they can go to India, they can go to Pakistan, they can go to Mexico, where there are abundant consumers. All these consumers need are jobs. The jobs that they're getting are our jobs. This is the first area. Are you got a break coming up here?
I'm afraid we do. But we'll be back in just a few minutes here. And, of course, we are actively funding our industries and encourage them to leave this country. And, of course, you can go over to open plants in Europe, in China, and get all sorts of loans from the Agency for International Development, the Asian Development Agency, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank. Oh, we just love to lend money so industries can leave the United States and go to communist China. The end result of a planned program, but people who have a different vision of what the world should be. We'll be right back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, A Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going to the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health, despite their fatty diet, because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763. Or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is John Christian Reiter, and we've agreed to talk about his article, Peak Oil, Deep Oil, and I share his concerns about the population control movement, but let's sort of get back to really this whole idea of oil, because an awful lot of people are finding their heating oil rates are going to go up this winter. An awful lot of people are finding their natural gas is going up. And certainly the price of oil and gasoline has never returned to what it was before Katrina and Rita and Wilma hit the Gulf Coast area. Was there really a justification for the massive increase in the price of oil and natural gas and heating oil a result of that?
None whatsoever. If you look at how it was engineered, when you listen to the news people say, "Well, this is what happens in a free market economy." You've got people in the market that bid up the price, And that's why the price is up, is because the people in the futures market are bidding on what they think the price is going to be. And this drives the price up today. But what they don't tell you is the people in the market who are bidding up the price of oil work for the oil companies.
And I think that's so important. The people who bid up the price of oil in the futures market are the ones who are working for the oil company.
Right. It's phony. It's phony. When you look at when Katrina happened, now granted, it along Louisiana, where a lot of the refineries are out in the water, and it did shut it down for like a month. And the first cries out of the mouth of the oil people was, well, we can't produce any oil. And then the Kuwaiti minister said, wait a minute, there is a glut of oil. If you look all around the United States, there are oil tankers parked along the coast all around this country. The oil tanks at all of the refineries are full. There is an oversupply. In fact, there is such an oversupply of oil right at the time that Katrina happened. The Saudi government had to cut back on production because they had nothing to do with the oil. They couldn't get rid of it.
But, of course, this is not what we're hearing in the United States.
No.
Oh, my goodness, the terrible shortages.
And then the truth came out. The problem is there aren't enough refineries. Okay, that's true. What happened to the refineries back when in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, the oil industry financed Greenpeace, they financed the Nature's Conservancy, they financed the Sierra Club, they financed World Wildlife Fund, they financed Wilderness Society, Environmental Defense Fund, Earth Island Institute, and probably 50 groups that I've never heard of. The purpose? To lobby Congress about carbon dioxide. We are destroying ourselves with carbon dioxide. We need to cut back on carbon dioxide. What nobody tells you is that the same problem we had in creating the people, which is where I was going with the story on the people, we have a companion problem with carbon dioxide. You don't realize what carbon dioxide does. If we cut back on the emission levels the way that the environmentalists want us to, what happens is the crops that we produce in the United States and the crops that are produced in the industrialized nations that are feeding the world, suddenly the crop yields are going to drop dramatically.
Because, of course, the plants need carbon dioxide.
Carbon dioxide
to create energy, right.
Right. That's the food that plants eat. So we created this nightmare problem with people. We're about to create another nightmare problem with food. Then the dire warnings of the eco-alarmist for the last 25 years is going to come true. It doesn't have to. But what we did is we allowed these environmentalists to get in here and their lobbies in Congress, and the first thing you know, we passed the Kyoto Protocol, and even though the Congress of the United States rejected it, Bill Clinton signed it. Now, I don't know if your listeners know, there is an ancient common law called the Law of the Nations. And the Law of the Nations simply says that when a nation negotiates a treaty and the leader of that country signs that treaty, it becomes binding on that country, even if that nation's parliament must approve it before the leader can sign it. Once that treaty is signed, whether it was authorized by the nation or not, it is binding on that nation for all time.
And they did the same thing with the Global Biodiversity Treaty. The president signed it. President Bush signed that one. And then, of course, Congress rejected it. It doesn't matter what Congress says.
Right.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam and Korea. Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV or order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
When was the last time you used PureSilk?
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon is John Christian, writer. We're talking about the skyrocketing price of gasoline, the rise in the price of natural gas, the rise in the price, certainly, of heating oil. And, of course, we have a strategic heating oil reserve put aside specifically so that we could keep the prices from skyrocketing. But President Bush refuses to access that, so people are going to have to pay their higher prices for fuel oil. Basically, what drove the price of oil up was the relative shortage that was produced by our government buying oil for the strategic oil reserves. All you had to do was stop actually buying oil, and the price would have come down. We didn't do that. We kept buying into a rising market. Why would you do something like that? It wasn't until after Katrina that they did actually release some oil, and the price came down. But the significant thing is really what happened with the refineries. We had over, I don't know, the figures are a little vague, but something like 325 gasoline refineries in 1981, and we're up to about 140-something now. They've closed down half the gasoline refineries in this country so that they can create artificial shortages. And that's how you make more money. But we don't have a free enterprise system. We have a controlled enterprise system with the government coming in and blocking any individual from building a new refinery on their own. You want to build a refinery? Lots of luck. They'll come up with the environmental laws and regulations and OSHA and unions, and they'll do everything they can to block you, and they'll bankrupt you. Isn't that right?
Yes. If you look at the oil refineries that closed, you've got to look at who owned them. The oil refineries that are still open are owned by the oil barons. the oil refineries that were closed were owned by independent oil companies. And because if you watch what happened, and I've spoken on the phone and through emails with several people that own small refineries in Ohio and farther west, and were actually forced to close down their own wells. And they were shut down because they couldn't afford the modifications to their facilities that were mandated by the EPA. So there's a deliberate, very deliberate attempt to shut down the independent refiners. And there is a reason. When you study the history of John D. Rockefeller, when Rockefeller finally got a stranglehold on the oil industry, he got the stranglehold not from controlling oil at the well pump. He got the stranglehold by controlling the oil coming out of the refineries as products. Once he controlled the refineries, he controlled the price of oil. And this was the reason for creating the environmental movement. It was to eliminate his competition.
And, of course, that's really what it's all about. I believe in the free enterprise system, but we don't have a free enterprise system.
No.
We have a cartel, and, of course, the reason nothing is done about it is because we've got some of the finest politicians money could buy in Washington, D.C.
And those oil people have the best politicians that money can buy.
Right.
So they work hand in hand together. So, but what we saw happening during this period was not a shortage of oil at all. Do you remember when we had the oil shortage when Clinton was in office and just when Gore was starting to run, and all of a sudden we had these shortages and the price of oil was going up, the price of heating oil was going up, and Al Gore was running for election, and they had to drive the price down somehow. So what Gore did, Gore talked Clinton into taking I don't know how many million gallons or barrels of oil out of the strategic reserve. And this was supposed to be converted into home heating oil for the elderly. You want to know what happened to that oil?
What happened to it?
It was sold to Russia. You know why? Because the problem was not oil. The problem was the refineries.
And so they've created artificial shortage of refineries, and this has all been done by the environmental movement, which is funded in large part by the very people supposedly they're campaigning
right.
against. And I think so many honest environmentalists see the things going and say, boy, we've got to mobilize the government to take care of these wicked oil barons, without realizing that their movement is controlled by the very people they oppose.
Yeah. Now, when you look at this, the issue of peak oil and deep oil, what you're getting from the Rockefeller side, because everything I've studied how the Rockefeller family thought and how they planned their strategies in the 19th century, and once you understand how they planned their marketing strategies in the 19th century, everything that they're doing today, you understand it immediately when you see it happen. Because this is what they did in the 19th century to gain control. Well, so what we're looking at, there is a philosophy in the oil industry. The reason that we have gone through here and we have driven the independent oil drillers out of business, and the reason that Mobil, Exxon, Chevron, Texaco, and all of the oil companies were shutting down facilities in the United States, in other words, bowing to the environmentalist movement, saying okay, and shutting them down, is because it costs more money to drill for oil in the United States in the soil that we have versus drilling for oil in sand. It costs pennies to drill in Saudi Arabia. It costs dollars to drill in the United States. It costs hundreds of dollars to drill in Alaska, and it costs thousands of dollars to drill in the ocean. But right now in the South China Sea and in the Arctic Circle are the two largest known repositories of oil so far discovered.
And of course, you know, if there was really a shortage of oil, I simply ask, why have they blocked drilling off the East Coast and West Coast of the United States? There are 500 billion barrels of oil off the Long Beach down there. They were just turned back to the federal government because the federal government has blocked their drilling there. If there's really a shortage of oil, why won't they allow them to drill up in the Arctic Wildlife Reserve? And how often do we read the paper and it says, oh, the pristine, you know, reserve up there. Pristine? This is frozen 10 or 11 months out of the year.
Yeah, I've got on my website, www.johnchristianwriter.com, I have several articles on ANWR.
The pristine ANWR, I love how they use that term, the pristine ANWR.
If you want the real skinny on what's going on with the oil industry, your listeners should take and visit that website a few times.
Well, let's get that website out one more time.
It's www.john, and keep in mind, John is J-O-N.
John Christian
Writer, R-Y-T-E-R.com.
Okay.
And the after the article ran on News with Views, I intended to repost it on my site, and I have not done that yet, but I think I'll put that up so that your people who listen to your program can see it. But when you look at this, the philosophy of deep oil is that deep oil is too expensive to mine. And the peak oil satisfies their agenda.
By peak oil, I mean this myth that we're running out of oil. My goodness, we peaked our production of oil and natural gas in 1971 in the United States. And in the world, this Thanksgiving, that was what Dr. Dreyfus has said, a world oil production has peaked. From now on, it's all downhill.
Yeah, there was a guy named Dr. Marion King Hubert in the late 1950s, and I don't recall now what oil company he worked for.
He worked for Shell Oil. He worked at their laboratory down in Houston.
Yeah, as soon as I said that, it came to my mind. He is the one who created the formula on peak oil. And one of his predictions on one well came true. And he basically said that this well was going to go empty at a certain time, and it went empty. Or they couldn't get any more oil out of it. So he became the father of this peak oil philosophy that was immediately adopted. And basically, the peak oil philosophy says that somewhere between 2030 and 2040, we're going to be in real deep trouble. And the oil industry is saying, okay, we're 30 years, 40 years, maybe 50 years away from running out of oil. And people think, oh, God, this is how I run my car. This is how I heat my house. This is how the factories run. Oh, man. So when the price starts to go up, we complain and grumble a little, but we say, well, we've got to protect this. So there is a myth at work. And the myth at work is that last year, or the year 2000, 2001, we crossed that midpoint, the peak point. And it's now downhill. The argument, the peak oil people, their argument is that we will run out of oil in the same proportion and the same way we got into it. You're just reversing the stairway. So we're going to rapidly lose massive amounts of oil within the next 30 years. And then it's going to be hard going, and what oil is left will be deep oil. And it's going to cost a lot of money to dig that oil out of the ground. So that's peak oil. That's peak oil. Deep oil. This is a study that went on for about 50 years. And the primary proponent of deep oil today is a Nobel Prize winner in chemistry, Dr. Dudley Hirschbach. And he is probably the leading authority. So your readers, if they want to really dig into deep oil to understand it, because I would need about 3 or 4 hours to try and explain it. And I'm not a scientist. I'm a writer. So I only know what my mind has absorbed, and it's probably about 0.1% of what I read.
Well, of course, the basic theme of the deep oil is that oil comes out of the very heart of the earth. That was the philosophy that was put forward by Thomas Gold. I think he was at Cornell or Princeton. Anyways, one of the major universities now.
Cornell.
But, you know, the significance is the Russians have done exactly what he said. Today they are the second largest oil and natural gas producer in the world, and they're drilling very deep oil wells, and of course they got more oil than they know what to do with.
Yeah.
But they're not telling the American people that. Oh, no, we're running out of oil. Everybody says it. There are no more dinosaurs. That's why we're running out of oil.
Yeah, which is really stupid when you really think about it. Because every living thing, and they, their claims, by the way, are based on the fact that these fossils are carbon. But what they don't want you to think about is that every living thing on Earth is carbon. Carbon is one of the basic building blocks of life on this planet. But when you look at, if you want to do a Google search, there's three names you want to look. And Thomas Gold is one. Dudley Hershback, Hershbach, and Michael Golden, Goldin. These are probably the three leading people on deep oil in the country today. And Gold and Golden are both astrophysicists. So these are well-credentialed people. These are people who have devoted a lot of time, and what they've looked at, how oil forms. And oil seeps up from very, very deep in the earth, comes through primarily through shale, and then it replenishes the wells. A lot of the wells that were closed down 20, 30 years ago are producing wells again. The question that is in the minds of a lot of people, and the question I don't think anybody can answer accurately today, is how long does it take to replenish the oil in a well or in a oil field. Nobody knows. But one thing that we do know is that just in Anwar alone, when you're talking about oil shortages, in Anwar alone, and by Anwar I don't mean just the little piece that Bush is trying to drill in. I mean the whole Arctic Wildlife Preserve. There is enough oil there to supply the United States for 300 years.
And there may be many other great, certainly fields of oil up there as well, and we have...
Yeah, under the... And some of the islands that... we had some islands in the Bering Straits up into the ice packs that the United States colonized when we bought Alaska. That were given to Russia. They were given to Russia by Carter. Around in that area is probably Russia, and I'm not certain. I know that Chevron's involved in it, or Texaco, whichever the corporate name is now. I guess it's Chevron. And they've discovered a massive amount of oil near one of those islands that we gave up.
Isn't that nice? We gave those to the Russians for nothing in return.
And Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton gave a lot of the islands that we took during World War II in the South China Sea, and that we pulled the flag off of. We left. China moved in and claimed them because they're in the South China Sea. And we never said a word. Now, I was doing researching something on the internet one night, and it was concerning Standard Oil. And I accessed a secure website. How I got into it, I have no idea at all, but it was a China or an Asian oil industry internet publication that you had to pay membership to get into. And it was talking about an IPO between China and Standard Oil for the oil in the South China Sea, and they named four of these World War II islands that Guadalcanal is one of them. But there's an IPO between Standard Oil and China to drill for this oil. And once I got it, I posted an article on my website, put the web address up, and nobody could hit it. You couldn't hit it. And I checked, because I printed off the material when I got it. And I couldn't get back into the site. But...
Well, I think the thing that people really need to understand is nothing is as it appears to be. They're lying to us. They've forced people to cap their oil and gas wells in the United States. They blocked drilling on government land, and they've certainly made it very difficult to drill on private land. It's all a scam. But you're
going to
pay.
Yeah, we are going to pay more for oil. It is not going to get better. It is going to get progressively worse.
And I really believe this is part of a much larger plan to impoverish the American people. It's about time you begin to wake up. John, thank you so very much for being with us. I hope we can get you on again sometime real soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
God bless.
Our 4 tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A 2-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of an American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this 4 tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Pure soap. I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural pure soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey, folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company's been making triple-concentrated pure soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. Calben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly and it's safe. Call the Calben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbenpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents weren't worried about our education. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. But as a parent today, I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality education with a biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know they are. VHM gives my children the tools to succeed and instills moral values. There are so many issues for me to be concerned about. I'm glad my children's education is not one of them. Won't you call VHM today? Your child is worth it. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and certainly we have a 4-tape set called Oil Deception, or The Oil Deception. My interviews with various people going into the background of this, we actually have an interview with a fellow named Etheridge, who has been involved with the oil industry for years, who said if Congress would simply pass the legislation that he got introduced to guarantee a floor of $5 a barrel, so that if people did drill, the oil cartel could not drop the price below $25 to $10 a barrel and bankrupt them. This is the way they work. If they had a floor on it, why, it would cost a third as much as it does now. But, of course, the bill never saw the light of day. Why? Because they control everything. If you doubt that, you really need to get our four tape set on oil deception. You need to get the book. The Energy Non-Crisis was written back in 1980-1981 and actually edited by a highly placed Atlantic Richfield executive who was mad at Atlantic Richfield because they'd fired him, and he told the whole story. It's all there. We'll be glad to send you one of our newsletters, perhaps Peak Oil 2. That's Peak Oil 2. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. You can actually read both of my newsletters at our website at RadioLiberty.com. That would be the October and November newsletters, as I remember. Anyway, Peak Oil, The Myth of Peak Oil and Peak Oil 2, or you can go to newswithviews.com and look under my name and pull them down. That's September and October newsletters, my producer told me. But if you'd like to give one of those newsletters free, we'll be glad to send it to you if you haven't been in touch with us before. You need to get the information. You need to understand that they're intentionally running up the prices. And don't say, oh, what can I do? Well, I'm just one person. I'm a retired orthopedic surgeon. But we are on almost 60 radio outlets every week. And that includes shortwave and internet and satellites. And if I can do it, you can do it. Or you can help those of us who are on the front lines of this battle. Because you see, there is a plan, a master plan, to impoverish the American people. It's in the Earth Chart. If you don't have a copy, pull it off the internet or call us and we'll be glad to send you one free of charge. And look at point 10A where they talk about the equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations. And what they're talking is your future, money you've worked for your whole life, is to be redistributed to people in other countries. And this is all a process by which they take money from poor people in a rich country to give to rich people in a poor country. And the elite will get richer, and the poor will get poorer, and you will be one of those people. This is not happening by accident. The master plan, the Earth Charter, is being kept in the Ark of Hope, a satanic counterpart of the Ark of the Covenant. And if you don't understand the spiritual forces we're up against, you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or our new little three pamphlets, each about 40 pages long and called The Occult Hierarchy, Part 1, Part 2, Part 3, they're all available, actually the three pamphlets for $9.95 plus shipping, by calling 1-800-544-8927. And they're simply our newsletters that we've taken and put into pamphlet form and shortened a little bit, make it easier for you to read. And understanding, there really are secret societies. And if you doubt there are secret societies, you need to get the book written by the Librarian of Congress, James H. Billington, called Fire in the Minds of Men. Or the book written by Professor Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. Or my interview, listen to my interview with Professor Quigley. It's not one I did, but I purchased the right to use it from Professor Quigley's widow. That's in the Secret Government 4-tape set. Or get our Secret Government special that actually has 2 4-tape sets and I think 4 videos. Get the information. And then, of course, please help us to get the information out across America. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Our website, RadioLiberty.com. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.